I told Phoebe the early service, I felt like Frank Sinatra was going to stand up and sing. Some of you don't know who that is, but it's all right. Those spirituals are so moving. Just kind of feel the music. Thank you, Phoebe. Amazing, amazing. Would you stand for the reading of the gospel? It's 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. So we have known and believed that the love of God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in his love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. Please be seated. And if you would say with me, the word of God for the people of God. I want to read just a quick line of that in the message. It says, I can see you, but I can't see the words. Jean Peterson says, there is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is not one yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love, love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love, because he first loved us. And the point of that text is that love comes from God. The kind of agape love that the scripture is teaching us is about a love that we do not have in us naturally. We are the recipients of that love. That love comes from God. And that's what I think this movie is about. You know, we've been doing these series, I'm sure most of you know that, we've been doing these series on movies. And last week, Brent did an incredible job with the movie Wonder. Today, we're going to talk about Frozen. Next week, Judy's going to be doing 5 Feet Apart, and Jennifer then will be doing Lion King, and Boyd will be doing the one on Wherefore Art Thou, Brother? And I want to tell you this, these are difficult movies to work with. I've got literally about 50 pages of notes, and it's an hour and 42 minutes. I hope you've got popcorn. But it's a great story, and it's a challenge to do this. I think it's a great idea because it gives us a chance to reflect, because so many movies have some real messages. And when I studied this movie, I found out that I had gotten it wrong the first time. So I want to give you kind of a thumbnail sketch of what the movie is about, just for a minute. How many of you have seen the movie Frozen? Well, maybe close to a fourth. Once upon a time, there were two little girls who were sisters. Anna, thank you very much. I was saying Anna, it sounded like I was a Yankee, but of course I am one, I guess. But Anna and Anna, Elsa was the older sister and Anna was the younger sister. And they loved each other, played together, their mom and dad were the king and queen of Arendella. It was a wonderful, happy family. Then usual thing was that Elsa had this magical power that she could look at things and point her hand at it and they would turn to ice or snow. She could just do that at will. And so when they were little girls, they played. Little Anna would wake up Elsa and say, let's go play. And so they would go play and she would make snow hills and they would slide up and down. But anyway, one morning, little Anna fell as a result of the ice and knocked her out. And they were fearful that she was dead. So the mom and dad came in and picked her up and they took her to the trolls. Now you have to see the movie to see who the trolls are, but they're little people with tremendous power, tremendous loving power. And so the grandpappy, who was the chief among the trolls, put his hand on the little girl and he said, it's important note, she's going to be okay because it's only in her brain. And so he kind of prayed over her, and she was fine. But then the grandpappy said to Elsa, with her powers, he said, "You must learn to control your powers. You must learn to control them." And he said, "Fear is going to be on your heart for the rest of your life. Fear is going to be your enemy." And so they left. Well, the mom and dad were scared about what was going to happen, so the king and the queen decided to separate the girls. They put one in one room and one in another, and the little girls never got to see each other. But little Anna loved her sister. They played together, and she was her playmate, her friend, and they loved each other. And they were never able to get together because they were separated. Once in a while, they'd sit down by each other's door, and little Anna would knock on the door, and her sister wouldn't even answer. "Why are you separated? Why don't you like me? What did I do to you?" No comment. On one very special day, the mom and dad, king and the queen, had to go on a trip. And so they went to sea in the ship, and the ship capsized, and they were drowned. This meant that when Elsa was 21, she'd become the queen. Well, the day came, the day of her coronation. Up to this time, no one was allowed in the castle to come across the moat to come in. It was all very private. But the doors to the palace were opened, and the people came in. Now, some very important dignitaries. The Duke of Weaselton, he said, Wesselton. They all like to say Weaselton, because he was a little weasel. He was a jerk, too. And then also this very handsome prince came in, very on a white horse. He was just absolutely adorable. And little Anna fell in love on sight. And all of a sudden, there was this romantic interchange between the two of them. And within a few minutes, probably within an hour or two, Anna and Hans went to the new queen, Sister Elsa, and said, "We want to get married. We need your blessing." The queen was taken back. She said, "How could you want to marry somebody you just met?" She said, "Well, it's because it's true love." She said, "You do not even know what true love is." "Yes, I do." No. And then it had this interchange. One of the things that's so important is that the queen wore these magic gloves. Well, they weren't magic, but they protected her because when she'd go like that, the ice would come. So they protected her. Well, there began this kind of a tussle between Anna and her sister Elsa. And finally, Anna grabbed Elsa's hand and pulled off her glove. She ran out and she said, why are you doing this to me? Why are you shedding yourself, everybody? And Elsa said, "Then just leave." Oh, then she screamed back at her. Then Elsa, the one who had the power, turned back and she went like that with her hand and froze everything. Well, it was a pretty dramatic scene. Can you put up just the picture of the movie? Not the slide. The two sisters. Okay, we're going to go into it. Hold a minute. He and I haven't rehearsed. Elsa's the one on the left, Anna's the one on the right. Wonderful little girls. Now, as Elsa ran out from the castle, she was afraid because everything had happened. The people saw her, and she was so afraid that somebody would find out about this magic power. So she ran out, and she was going to the North Mountain. And now you can see that video. This is what happened as she ran out. Left everybody. Left her queenship.
You know, when I first saw that movie, I heard the music, I thought, wow, what a deal. She's free. And I accepted it was just like that until I started studying and discovered what the real message was in that. You know, this movie grossed about $4 billion. It's one of the highest yielding movies worldwide. It's an amazing movie. But you see what happened? She went out there and she didn't come to grips with what was going on. She isolated. She froze herself. She separated herself from what was going on. You know, things do that to us. Sometimes fear, sometimes trauma in our history. Sometimes we do things that were stupid, and trauma, whatever it is, and our fear can isolate us. And we make up a new story so that we don't have to deal with it. We won't let people in. Some things can just eat on us, and we feel so isolated. And she was isolating herself. What she didn't know was that what she had done is she went out, and all that ice that was forming, it actually froze her whole kingdom. People were in an eternal winter. And they didn't know what else to do. You know, something happens when I know of a little boy. When he's 15, his dad said, I don't want you to try to drive that red Mustang. You only have a learner's permit. Do not drive the Mustang. Dad went to work. The boy went to school. After school, called his friend, said, come and let's go for a ride. They took the red Mustang with the black stripes, and they drove out, and he said, we're going for a good ride. They rounded a curve a little too fast. The Mustang went over and over. His friend didn't have a chance. Little Aaron survived. He's 60 years old now, and he lives isolated. Oh, he'll talk with you. He had a young lady who loved him, and still loves him, but he's afraid to let her in. He has such guilt and shame over what had happened. It was an accident. Neither one of the boys should have been there, but it really wasn't his fault. But whose fault was it? But it isolated him. His family struggles with the fact. He struggles with addiction and other issues. He's a nice person to talk to, but you only get this close. That can happen to us. People do that all the time. I want to show you a picture of a little boy. Thank you, Will. Isn't he cute? Say, ah. You're not as good as their first service. I mean, I hope I'm not putting you to sleep yet. But isn't he cutie? Little boy grew up. He went to a primary school and public school system and learned that he really could be a great artist. He loved to draw, and he loved music. He was so enchanted with music. When he went to the secondary school, he wanted to go to a classical school. But he was the fourth child out of six. His three younger siblings died in infancy. His dad, Alice, was not a very good character. His mama, Clara, was his dad's third wife. And when he wanted to go to the school, his dad said, no, you're going to go to become an architect. And he sent him to the school. Little Adolphus did not want to go there. And so he actually worked at failing out of school because he thought he could get into the classical school. But he loved his music. He loved art. He was so passionate about it, so creative. History teaches us that his dad beat him on frequent occasions. His mother, Clara, tried to protect him from his dad, but was not often able to do that. This little boy grew up, and his younger brother, Edmund, died of the measles. And the text teaches us that something happened to him when his little brother died. It changed his whole personality. He became withdrawn and kind of remorseful, but morose. And it was just like this transformation that happened to him. Well, he grew up, was never able to finish classical school. He got involved in some politics, and well, you probably heard of him. His name was Adolphus Hitler. He wrote a book called Mein Kampf. You know what that means in English, Mein Kampf? Means my struggle. My hunch is that Adolf Hitler never dealt with the grief in his own life. He never dealt with the punishment that he had from his dad. Anger built up in him, and stress
and what happened in the world, he froze inside. And you know what happened in history? What this little boy who had great potential was squashed. He never got to live his dream, and his had such a horrible childhood. And what he did in his isolation to the world cost millions of lives. A cute little kid. Who'd have thought that he could be frozen? But good friends, I can tell you that happens in families. It happens all the time. Our counseling center deals with folks who have been frozen and trying to get them to a place where they can open up and reveal and talk out and find love and connection. Well, Elsa is up on the North Mountain, living in her castle, and she's got everything her way. She's by herself, isolated. Anna loves her sister and wants to find her and tell her to come back and unfreeze her town, unfreeze Arendelle. So she sets out to go find her sister. And oh, you got to see the movie. If you haven't seen it, get it today. You'll love it. On her way to get there, a lot of things happened. Finally, she got in front of her sister, went up that long staircase, went inside the castle. Elsa, they talk, and all of a sudden, I'll tell you more later, some things happened, but Elsa and Anna made contact, and it froze her heart. And so Christoph was a young man that met her on the way and helped her get there. Christoph and his reindeer, Sven, you'll get to see him in a minute, he got her there to see her sister, and then when they found out what happened to her heart, he knew the only way he could get her heart to thaw was take her back to the trolls. And so he did. Now if we can see that clip on the trolls. Okay, that's good. Thank you. And what you don't know is that Hans is coming back. He wants to kill both Anna and Elsa because he wants to take over the kingdom. Kristoff thinks that Hans is her lover, and if they could just get the two, if Anna and he could kiss, it would be the true love, and it would create the thaw. Well, little did they know. Well, Anna made her way back. When Hans got a hold of her, he put her in a room and isolated her, put her in chains, and her hands were freezing. And she was there, but finally she broke loose. In the meantime, Elsa is coming this way to find her sister, and they're running and running and running because they don't know what's going to happen. They're trying to bring the thaw. Well, amazing thing happened. I want to show you this next clip. See, Hans is about to kill Elsa. So he can take over. She's the queen.
No, please.
I get emotional when I see that particular part of the movie. But you see, I don't know if you noticed, and I didn't see it until I saw it the second time. It was Anna who was really the victim in this story. She's the one who threw herself on Elsa to save her life, sacrificed herself, and the whole kingdom was saved. You see, the moral of the story, the whole point is that love does that. But it's not the kind of love that we think, oh, ga, 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 goo, goo. It's the kind of love that only comes from God. We aren't born with it. You can't buy it. You can't get it. It only has to be given to us from God. I tell you, I've seen some places in the world that absolutely shocked me. I know a family who marriage was a disaster. I mean, it was horrible by all means. It should have been just over and go your separate ways. This family said, out of a struggle, we're going to pray together. They began to pray for healing love. You know what? They have grandchildren today, and the family is together. It's an amazing thing. What love, not the love that we come equipped with, the one that we can receive. I've been to a lot of places in the world, and one of the most horrible things I've ever seen was the Kibera slums in Nairobi, Kenya. 1 million people lived there. I've been to the slums. I used to work the streets of Atlanta when I was in seminary doing a particular project we had, and I've seen some pretty bad stuff. But I can tell you, nothing ever looked like what I saw in Kibera. Little kids playing in garbage. Jimmy, you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. And you can see kids, and you say, no, people can't live like that. It's not like this little area. 1 million people. And the reason I'm telling you that is in that horrible situation, I went into a classroom that was really just a tin hut. And I saw these teachers teaching little kids. Really, they don't get any money. I mean, it's just they're there because they love kids. Sacrificing love. They have bottle caps using those things, not because they're playing games, but that's all the equipment they have to teach them mathematics. They use sticks and rocks. And to see that happening, it just touches your heart. You think, how can you do that? You see, this love that comes from God in us goes out. It's love, you see, is really a verb. It's not like I've got it. I remember somebody said to me once, he talked about a person, he said, you know, he is so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. I thought that was a pretty funny line myself. I mean, you can laugh if you want. Boy, it's just a tough crowd. Gee whiz. But see, the point is, you know, the Gnostics believed that all this was just pretty much intellectual. That you could read the book, yes, I read about it, it's in the Bible, I know it, I believe it. That's not how it works. This love is something we have to receive from God. You can't manufacture it. You have to pray and receive it. And God pours it out on us. But he doesn't pour it out on us just to settle in. He pours it out so that it will go out through us. I've seen love in this church where teachers come in on Sunday morning who have other things they'd probably like to do, who'll come in and teach your children Sunday after Sunday. I've seen teachers in public school who sacrifice so much to teach kids, to embrace them, not to just have a job, but a place to help change the world, places where only God's love can drive you. I can't imagine. You know, we in the church, we have the opportunity to bring change to the world. It's not our political ideologies that separate us. It's our lack of love. Jesus said, if you want to know how people are going to know that you're my disciples, it's by how many chapters of the Bible you can recite. No, he said, it's how you treat each other. How you and I treat each other is the model for the world to look at. The church has its disagreements, but at the bottom line, we have to figure out how that we can express God's love. It's not us, it's his love that changes the world. It's the one that thaws the world. Can you imagine what would happen, even in our own country, if we could penetrate so many walls with God's love? Now, I can tell you this. Loving with God's love can really be hard. It's tough because sometimes we have to thaw out ourselves and get in touch with who we are. It's very hard to do that. Some days it feels good, but most of the time, the hard stuff is really hard. But then, you know what? Going to the cross was hard too. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, your model to us on how to love meant that you would love sacrificially for us. Help us not to just store up our information, but to be your body in the world. To go to the places in our community where families are struggling, where kids are struggling. To be places in the world with our kids, even in Chicago. They'll not only give, but they'll receive so much. We thank you that you poured out yourself for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.